Appliance Discounters is a locally owned company that began with one location in Webster Groves, Missouri in 2009 and has grown to six locations covering Missouri and Illinois. We always offer the lowest price on all appliances for our customers. We carry in-box and out-of-box new appliances at drastically lower prices than any competitor. We purchase our appliances direct and buy the truckload to receive the lowest price from the manufacturers and then pass the savings on to you. That's how we came up with our motto, our savings are your savings. Shop us at theappliancediscounters.com.
It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:06 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS. Timothy Mike McKernan, Douglas Elvin Vaughn. Doug, on your left, that's Charlie Marlowe, works at the 2-5.
I have a name tag on.
I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, gentlemen.
You've been on vacation a while, have you?
I was until got back Monday.
Where'd you go, boy?
Went to Vancouver and Seattle.
Had you ever been to Vancouver before?
Never
it's
been.
It's one of the great cities in North America, is it not?
It's now, I think it's my favorite North American city.
Yeah. Although I've never been to Europe, I've been told it's a European-style city. So that's as close, Doug, as I've been to Europe, even though it's on the other end of the continent. Isn't that fun?
To me, it feels like San Francisco kind of cleaned up a little bit.
I agree, but I think also...
San Francisco's kind of rough in some areas. A lot of homeless.
The mountains. To have the mountains right near... the ocean. You don't see just the views you get there was like nothing I've seen before.
What'd you do while you were there, boy?
Stanley Park is this great park that if you ever go, you have to check out. We spent basically an entire day there. They have this suspended bridge you can walk over, another area, just ate some good seafood. We were there a couple nights, then went to Seattle for three nights. Hung out with some of my fiance's friends. Good time.
It's a shame it's so far. Because those are two very, very cool cities, only they are a long way from anything else.
Yeah.
When it gets down to it, it's just like another hour and a half.
But if you want to drive somewhere. St. Louis, you can drive to Chicago, Nashville, Kansas City, Dallas, Atlanta, and it's not a big deal.
How far is the drive to Dallas?
It's about 9-10 hours, yeah.
It's outside the five-hour range. I don't know if I can fade that. Man, I don't know if I can fade that.
Well, I fade it because otherwise I'm buying five plane tickets.
I will say the first day of travel was bad. Coming back, we had a direct flight. But going there, we go to Nashville, of course.
You go to Nashville, you go to Seattle.
Then go to Seattle.
Geographically, it doesn't make much sense.
Well,
that's Southwest for you. And then we rented a car. And then the drive to Vancouver from Seattle is about 3 hours.
So. Oh, really? I thought it was like 2 hours. Huh.
Mileage-wise, or kilometers, Doug, it's not very long.
Do you have a problem with kilometers?
The traffic is always bad, everybody told me, which it was.
Going from one city to the next.
Pretty much both ways. And then coming back in at the border, it took a lot longer than getting into Canada.
Now, they don't get a whole lot of winter there, do they?
Of winter?
Yeah.
Vancouver?
Do they? I don't think they get it too bad, just being right there on the coast.
Yeah, I'm not sure. This was the nicest it's ever been when I've been to Seattle, just because for Rams games, I feel like it's always in December. And yeah, it seems like there wasn't snow on the ground when I've been there in the past, but it's always kind of that dreary, cold, rainy.
Yeah. Oh, well.
What a great city, Doug.
Yes, I know.
And they pulled out a victory over the Dolphins.
You went to that?
No, but I watched it.
There's a long flight, Seattle to Miami.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking when I saw those. Was that six, you think?
Oh, I bet. Every bit of six.
It's about 2 hours and 15 minutes when I fly down to Fort Lauderdale, and it's 4 hours from St. Louis to Seattle in my experience. Hence my math. But I don't know.
No, because
you're figuring in some taxiing time. It'd be fun to find out, wouldn't it?
Well,
it'd be fun to find. Maybe we'll do that today.
It's just something to talk about just briefly and then move on.
Okay. To what?
Well, Ortiz Farms Captain's Log. They have the John Pepper's award-winning ribs are being served at the St. Charles location this weekend, plus Mums and A-S-T-E-R-S.
Astors
are now available at all three locations.
And some hearty mums.
Thank you. Rick Hummel, 8 o'clock, Cardinals, Cubs. Kind of a fun game yesterday.
Well, if you like John Lester, it was fun.
Matty Lou Chandler, writer for Outkick, the coverage, podcast host for college football on Fox Sports, and expert on The Bachelor. She will be with us, our DraftKings guest of the day. That's at 8:30. I like that get. And then at 9 o'clock, now here's what we got going on, Doug, because we were on the phone for our show prep meeting this morning.
Yeah.
And at 9 o'clock, today, we were scheduled to have Butch Patrick.
Nice.
Butch Patrick, of course, given as a gift from Calvin May to Joe Madden, the autographed picture of Butch Patrick before the Cardinal victory on Tuesday. And it sent the Cubs into a one-game tailspin. And I think it's logical that opposing teams' managers are handed autographed pictures of 1950s television stars with widow's peaks by local media. However, Butch Patrick is now unavailable. This is an Iggy get. You can always kind of guess who booked who.
Mm-hmm.
I would gather Matty Lou is in the Seymour family. Butch Patrick is certainly in the Iggy family.
Yeah. Hi, Iggy.
But Iggy informed the Sea Monster, who then informed me that Butch Patrick is now unavailable today.
Why?
Him and Calvin golfing or something?
I guess that he makes his money by taking that Munster mobile around the country, I think. But he said he had a car show. I don't know what that meant.
You can still make money off that.
Well, everybody else is dead, so I guess it just keeps getting handed down from actor to actor. So Cal texted me, or he called me yesterday.
Calvin did.
Calvin May.
Because he won't give you Bush's number.
Well, like I want it.
Oh, easy.
No, he won't. He just, I'll have to call him for you. Well, just give me the number. I'll do it. Okay. So Cal's producing the show now, too. We got six.
Yeah, that'd make it four producers, yeah. Doug.
But he said that he had to go out of town for this car show.
Calvin's going with Butch Patrick.
No, Calvin's not. But I did a little pre-producing with Calvin yesterday.
Did you?
A little pre-interview. It seems that Cal May is, he must have a fetish for the Munster family.
Uh-oh.
Because he told me that big surprise yesterday when he got home, him and his wife have an autographed picture of Pat Priest.
Doug, now who's Pat Priest?
Marilyn.
She played
right.
Marilyn, yeah. Munster.
She was the normal one.
So he told me that story. He goes, it's so exciting, me and my wife.
How long are you in Calvin May on the phone for, and was it recorded by chance? Because I might just play that now.
Well, no, he'll tell the story today. So what he told me, he'll tell you. But he said that Eddie can do it Monday or Tuesday. Is that okay? And I said, well, tell Eddie, or Butch, we promoted it yesterday. He's coming on.
Is big for us. The 9 o'clock hour is something we're trying to improve our TSL,
yeah,
Charlie.
We can't get stiffed by Butch Patrick. Mm. So I said, we'll just see if he can do it. We were talking 10, 15 minutes over the phone. I'm sure the car show doesn't start at 9. All right, I'll call him back. Why don't you just give me his number and I'll take care of this? No, I'll call him. Okay. Well, he called back and said he can't do it. He said he can do Monday or Tuesday, but he's got too much going on tomorrow. So
book Butch for Tuesday then. I don't like having guests like that on Monday.
Yeah, I don't. Especially after a big four-game series with Frisco.
That's right. And don't forget the Rams are hosting the Sea Pigeons.
Yeah, so we'll work on Tuesday. I know I said 9, but Sea Monster has somebody else at 9, so God forbid we have to push Butch Patrick back to 8:30.
Mm.
So, that's my wheelhouse, Butch Patrick, and then I'm working on...
an audio postcard?
I'm working on some porn stars.
Oh, who?
None that you would know.
No.
Well, Iggy texted me yesterday. He's working on Lexi Bell, who was at a Cardinal game last month wearing a Matt Holliday jersey. And I still don't know what the hell that was about. Why she was here. And then she flew to, like, I don't know.
Was she dancing?
No.
No?
She just drove in from somewhere and then went to a Cardinal game and then took off and I think went to Europe. I mean, if you want to fly to Europe, St. Louis isn't exactly, though. Hell, no. Charlie had to go through Nashville to get to Seattle. So I don't know what that was about. I don't know what that's about. And then I said, Cassidy. I need to know what's going on with Cassidy.
Yeah, I reached out to somebody who is good friends with her. Actually, I'll tell you somebody we need to get on is, you know, Steve Hirsch?
Doug, Steve Hirsch.
Owner of Vivid.
I'm not familiar with his work, no.
Well, I talked to his daughter yesterday for like 30 minutes. Fascinating lady. She pretty much runs Vivid.
Oh, all right.
And she's friends with Cassidy and said I would reach out to her for you. But I don't believe she does radio anymore. Now, I was thinking to myself...
radio anymore?
Didn't we have Cassidy on?
Yes,
at one
we did.
Point?
Yeah.
Isn't that like...
Wonderful. I think it might be with... No, the vibrator drop came from Chasey Lane.
Isn't the...
And I gave Iggy Chasey Lane's phone number the other day, and he goes, no, she's had 7 different numbers since.
Yeah, that changes every week with her. Well, she loses her phone.
Doug, what number on Chasey Lane do you have? Because I don't have the 818.
Yeah. I certainly don't have the current one.
Yeah, I had the 213.
Everybody had that.
I don't think I've ever called her.
There was one afternoon about 5 years ago, and I have no idea why we were on the phone, but I wound up being on the phone for about an hour with Chasey Lane. And I thought to myself, this is what it's all about. This is why I went to journalism school. This is why I bus tables at Pietro's for this moment. Now, I didn't understand what the hell she was talking about, but I still was on the phone for about an hour with Chasey Lane, and everything was finally coming together for me.
What were you discussing?
She was talking a lot.
Oh.
I think she was...
Probably on the meth.
It was probably.
That's tough when you have that one friend or coworker that calls and won't stop talking. Have you ever had one of those? Who just will not... And you know, every time that phone rings, you got at least 20, 25 minutes. Maybe it's a relative.
Don't answer.
I got one of those.
Who's that?
I'm not saying. But every time the phone rings, you
sounds
go, well...
Sounds like it's Maurice Drummond to me.
No, I'm just saying a relative.
Aren't related?
I said, well, I got to clear 25 minutes for this call. You don't want to be rude.
Don't answer.
That's what I do. That's what I do a lot
just
of times.
Just listening and learning.
All right.
I'm a Zalog. Now, I don't know what the hell's going on in the text inbox. You can text in. Of course, it's 855-CUB-TALK. That's our number, Doug. And why are we getting all these happy birthday to Caden Cross text messages?
You're asking me that question?
Doug.
Does anybody know what this is about? It's on the fan page. We're getting all these text messages, for real, like from a bunch of different names. It's not just like one guy texting in over and over again like Bobby Bestel does. It's a bunch of different people, and I don't know what's going on.
Is it her birthday?
I don't have any idea.
You don't know if it's her birthday?
I don't have any idea why it's going on or whether it's her birthday. Let's
see. I'm friends with her real name account and see if it's her birthday. It is.
Well, happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday.
She must be about 27.
I don't know on that.
26, 27.
Who is this?
Caden Cross. She was the porn star that we had
friend of the show.
In the studio proper a couple times.
She was here for the old AFC-NFC Super Bowl deal, party, one of those two?
I believe that's right.
Yeah, that's right. A couple times. Yep.
Nice lady.
And here's like her family. There's the Plowhawks' wonderful friend, Manuel Ferrara. And there's her with her daughter, who Anna Marie and I were able to meet at the AVNs this year, of course.
She has a daughter. How old is the daughter? Just a tiny little toddler?
2 or 3. Because I was communicating with her about Jill Cassidy coming to town on for the Hot Shots TMA Live. A week from tonight, Doug. It's when it all goes down in St. Charles. Hot Shots in St. Charles. What? And I just can't justify, from an expense side, spending money on Jill Cassidy if it's not going to provide a return. So therefore, as much as I would enjoy it, and my God, what a wonderful interview it was, it would probably be, I don't know, about a $1,500 expense with absolutely no return on it.
Yeah. Can't you just slip some local gal a double sawbuck and say, here, you pretend you're Jill Cassidy. Who's going to know?
Maybe me and Timmy the Tickler, but that'd be
it. Yeah, I'd go with that plan.
A double sawbuck?
Yeah, 20 bucks.
So I said to Caden, I said, well, you are a friend of the show and, Mount Rushmore of prominent adult film stars over the last 5 years. Can you even come to St. Louis anymore? And she said she probably could, but she would probably also have to bring her young daughter.
Mm-hmm. And you think that kind of spoils the illusion for some?
Do you have daycare?
We do have.
On site?
We have KFNS daycare.
Porn star daycare services.
So she brought the child to the AVNs?
Yeah.
Is that the norm?
We went down. We were both staying at the same hotel, and we wanted to go down and say hello, and there was her daughter, along with the Plowhawks friend, Manuel. Plowhawks a big Manuel guy.
I'm sure for the people in the business, it's nothing because they know that it's kind of a job that they do, and of course they all have families. And for those people who just watch for the entertainment value, they go, huh, what? I thought you were single, and maybe I still had a chance.
And probably no more sturdier of diaper changing stations than at the AVNs, I would imagine.
Doug, where'd that come from?
Yeah, where did that come from?
Well, I figured with them.
What you're trying to say is
their
a
profession
lot of them,
being in okay. sex, having sex on a diaper changing station seems to be
who
plausible.
Plausible.
A lot of the emailers explain how you get into that. And so maybe bringing a kid to the AVN.
I think you were just slandered on these airways.
Yeah, it seemed like that.
Well, I didn't say definitively. I said it sounds like it from the emails.
People are talking.
And why would they suggest that? Why would they suggest such a vile thing? Just because that's who our emailers are.
Yeah. It started with the whole diaper thing a couple years back.
Who started that?
You're the one that you allow it
by not
suspending them properly.
Oh, some have been suspended many times, multiple times.
Tim, you're my idol and my hero. I look up to you. I hope you get your lesbian orgy in Las Vegas for your birthday. Thank you. Fred from the poor part of the nail.
Okay, Fred.
Wow.
Okay, Fred from the poor part of the nail is going on to the thorough lemmings list. A list that's growing. Fred from the poor part of the nail is now on the thorough lemmings list.
You can send in your tributes and wishes at 855-CUB-TALK. That's 855-CUB-TALK. The appliance discounter phone lines, 855-CUB-TALK. And, of course, texting in 855-CUB-TALK.
Speaking of the AVNs, when is that? I always thought it was January.
Yeah, third weekend of January. It's a tradition.
Marcy Hirsch, who I talked to yesterday.
Doug, this is another member of the Hirsch family.
The sister of, what's his first name?
Darnell Cole.
Emilio.
Steve Hirsch, owner of Vivid. We were talking about the AVNs, and she said, if you guys want to come down and do something, I have a lot of pull with that as far as who comes in, who gets the red carpet tickets, things like that.
Wow,
seating.
Wow.
So if we want to do that, she says,
I can
set you up in a perfect spot on the red carpet that you get all the interviews you want.
Oh, my.
So this
I'm willing to bet on this one. Now, this one, I wouldn't have it sold, but I'm willing to bet we could make a profit on this. So I'd be willing to do this and book the flights. I don't know who the right people are to work the red carpet for us, though, Doug. Who
wouldn't be me.
Well, I know that. But I feel like Iggy's got to be in the mix. I feel like the Plowhawk's got to be in the mix. And I feel like Larry Nichols got to be in the mix. Is your mic on?
I don't know.
Hello, testing London, Mayday.
You turned off Doug there.
I don't know
Plow
how that
giant?
Possibly happened. It was on... Just like five
seconds
ago.
Well, I wouldn't say anything.
I think Charlie
great
did.
Import.
I did not mean to put you down, Doug.
That's fine.
So, the Plow Giant, Iggy, Timberfake, and Larry Nickel working the AVNs for us, I think, could provide quality entertainment. It's an expense, though, Doug.
Well, sure it is. And they'd need to be out there a couple weeks to get their legs under them.
Yeah,
after
so kind of like when Joe would need to set up a remote for us down.
Looking at ticket prices here, they've ranged.
You've already done a little diligence.
Well, I was seeing what the date was, and then I clicked on the website, and then it gives you ticket information. It looks like upper balcony, your standard issued ticket is $175.
Oh, gee, many
balcony,
crazy.
Lower balcony, $300. Backstage passes $2,500, the golden ticket is $1,000.
Oh, what's the golden ticket get you outside?
It looks like one VIP seat, early admission, a free VIP access to one of their AVN expos the day before the AVNs, and then free parking.
That free parking is big.
That is.
But we're not paying for those.
No, I'm just saying this is...
We'd be credentialed. Yeah, we'd be credentialed members of the media.
Yeah, we'll get all that for free.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they sell backstage passes for rock concerts and things like that?
Yep.
And those are
sell backstage passes?
Those are like $2,500?
Justin Bieber was selling them for $2,500, and then he put the kibosh on. He was tired of all the people coming back, so he said, I'm done with it, even for the money. Now, you saw where Billy Bob Thornton was in Kansas City? They sold backstage meet and greets for $100.
God bless him.
But I think he was doing that for the band members to make some money because obviously he doesn't need it.
Right. People are suggesting that the Plowboy has to dress up as a My Little Pony on the red carpet. That's the brony discussion we had yesterday, Doug.
I like it. I like it.
Where do you get your costume? Is that a Johnny Brock's thing?
I think it is.
I know. They got a lot of traction on the fan page. A lot of pictures that I haven't seen before with guys dressed up as My Little Ponies. And I almost watched a documentary again. I might sneak
really
that
into
this,
this
weekend.
Do you think you're developing this fetish?
I don't think it's...
What's going on here?
No, it's just it's a fascinating documentary. The documentary I watched, I think it was called Bronies. I don't know if they changed the name or if there's a similar documentary on Netflix currently. And it's about guys who like the My Little Pony show so much that they actually dress up as such. They put on the pony mane, the hooves. They call their other bronies, and they, like, gallop and neigh and play in their front yard.
Gallop and neigh and play
in the front yard.
And then they deck out their Cutlass Supreme, and they put, like, a unicorn horn on it with, like, their favorite My Little Pony decals, and it's pretty great.
Now, do
pretty
these,
great.
Do
it's
do
about
these
the
men,
creepiest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Are these guys that enjoy other guys or no?
What do you think?
It sure looks like it.
I think it's like a 60-40 split.
I don't think they're
pretty solid, Doug.
So like there's a straight, you know, 30-pound overweight father of three who's dressed up as My Little Pony.
Sure.
Well, they have a couple, a few couples. The guy is involved, obviously, in dressing up like My Little Pony, and the wife has no idea. And they just have meet and greets with other wives and kind of like basketball wives or, you know, athlete wives where they get together. It's the brony wives where they all get together and discuss how crazy their husbands are.
Oh, my.
That's a fantastic documentary. I highly recommend it, Doug.
Any nudity?
Good question.
You know, I think there are a couple scandalous outfits when you go to that the brony convention or the My Little Pony convention. Most of the guys will have like sometimes like skirts, like see-through skirts. So, yes.
Well, I was talking about the wives, and I don't want to see the dudes.
No, they're not even close, no. Okay.
Hmm. Such a creepy topic. It's such a surprise that it's taken off on the fan pin.
And how did you guys get to this topic yesterday?
Yeah, how did that happen?
Fetishes.
Paul, you certainly brought it up, because I had never heard of it.
I think we were doing a power ranking or Mount Rushmore of fetishes right after the Dominatrix interview. And I brought up one that isn't obviously going to make the top five, but
no,
it's one of those sleeper picks.
Yeah.
It's like a 11 or 12 seed in the East bracket.
Votes.
And so I brought it to the attention. I just watched it a couple years ago, thought it was fascinating, and that was that.
Did you really think it was fascinating?
I loved it, yeah. I didn't love the fetish. I loved like the guys thinking that this is like real life, like they're actual ponies.
Bronies.
Is it trending on Netflix? That didn't come up on my trending list on Netflix.
I don't think it'll ever be trending on Netflix now.
Narcos, Orange is the New Black, Bronies.
Doug, Benji is on the appliance discounter phone lines.
Yeah, Benji. Hello, Benji.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Oh, we're fine. You?
Good, good, good. Hey, on the road, going to have a baby pretty soon. We're heading to the hospital. I know you guys have a big day with Cal and everybody, so I don't want to screw your time
Doug
up,
Calvin but, May at 9 o'clock will be on the show replacing...
Talking to the phone a little more.
Butch Patrick.
Is the Bluetooth, is that a problem?
Let's yeah, we can hardly hear you.
Radio?
Yes.
Okay, let me fix that. I apologize, guys.
Come on.
Is that a little better?
Yes, that's better. Now we can hear you.
All right. I'm sorry. But anyway, we're on the road. Going to have a baby here pretty soon. So, just want to let you guys know.
Congratulations
for the ITD family, Brian Kelly family. I'm sorry, old school. Huh.
Well, that's good. Nice. Congratulations. You say you're on the road. Yeah. Are you on the road to the hospital?
On
now?
The road again.
We are heading there now, and I'm a little nervous. So I wanted to call and see what you guys thought. Tim, I know you're an expert at this.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to expect?
On what?
Baby stuff.
The hell would I know?
It was a crappy joke. I'm sorry.
Well, is this your first child?
Okay. This will be the second.
Second. Okay, so yeah, you've been through it before.
It's our first boy.
Are you really on the way to the hospital calling in this show? Like she's sitting
Absolutely.
Next to you?
Water already broke you?
She's not the water. I'll be honest. It's the mucus plug. It was all in the bed. It was
Is that an FCC broke. Violation?
Oh. Can we talk with her?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk to her?
Yes.
You
absolutely.
Want to talk to him? Okay.
Maybe we can deliver the baby over the air, Doug.
I can't believe he just said mucus plug.
Yes, he did.
Wow. Good morning. Congratulations on the impending birth of your son. And your name is?
I'm Emily.
Doug, this is Emily.
No, hello, Emily. Hello, Em.
Hello, guys.
How are you feeling right now?
You know, it's an interesting feeling, crampy, but you know, hanging in there. I'm just ready to get this started.
How old is your daughter?
She's five.
So if we waited 5 years to have your child. Do you know what you're going to name this young strapping boy?
His name is going to be Nolan.
Nolan. Huh, I think that is, Doug. Owen Nolan had the blue line. It was a red line shot against Roman Turk and paid tribute.
Are you having contractions yet, gal?
Yes, I am. I've actually been having them for the past 2 days.
How far apart are they now?
Oh, very, very, very far apart, like 15 minutes.
You expect you're dilated
yet? I'm going to go in and get a little help.
You'll need that.
Yeah, I'm about 3 centimeters dilated. All right,
Well, let's get it up to 10 before we start to see a head poking out.
Yes, turtle head, Doug, turtle head.
Well, good luck. I'm sure everything will be just fine.
Hey, real quick.
My husband listens to you guys when he's nervous, so he's really.
When he's nervous, is he really? Well, we are a soothing show. Hey, real quick, Jay Randolph Jr. just texted me and said, how does Emily feel about her feet? Do you have any?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my feet are fine. It's my ankles that have been missing for the past couple weeks.
Oh, you got cankles now.
I sure do.
Is that part of the deal with pregnancy or just a little
It is, especially when you're pregnant in the summertime.
Huh, I didn't know that.
I warned him I do not want to be pregnant next time in the summer.
Huh, you carry some water weight.
Is this going to be it for you? You're going to have more?
I think we're going to probably go for one more.
I'll be darned.
I would like one more boy.
A lot of breeding.
Yeah.
Thank you, Plowhawk.
But thank you for your well wishes. That was really nice of you guys.
What do you usually listen to, Emily? Be honest with me in the morning while your husband's listening to us to soothe him. What are you listening to? Do you like that Guy Phillips?
No. I usually listen to whatever I was on the radio, but if I'm in the car with him, it's always you guys.
Very nice. Hey, real quick, have you ever been with a woman?
No.
Sounds like a yes to me, Doug.
No.
Yeah, she was very reluctant to give you a straight answer.
Well, maybe as a gift to your husband after you give birth to his son, you can wear a strappy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, take a strappy. I apologize. That's inappropriate. Thank you, Emily. Good luck today.
Oh, he wants to say one more thing. Hold on.
What? No.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a nice guy.
Well, thank you.
You're a nice guy.
Yeah.
You can come by any time to see the baby if you want to.
Oh, my gosh. You can see Nolan.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the second child. She'll be in there 4 or 5 hours before the child is delivered.
Yeah, I'm just going to drop her off. Is that after?
Yeah, I did that. I did that once, too, and went back and went to sleep while the third one was being born.
I got work to do, so.
All right. Sorry
about
you.
Guys. Sorry to bug you, but I appreciate it, guys.
Congratulations to you and Emily, Benji.
It's a nice little family. And young Nolan.
And young Nolan.
Named after Nolan Arenado.
Is that what it is?
Oh, probably the great Rockies third psycher.
Plays the hot corner.
It's nice just to take a peek into the lives of our listeners. I mean, if you were on your way to the hospital to give birth, where would you rank, I got to call this radio show on your list of priorities at the time.
There didn't seem to be a lot of urgency, though.
No.
So I don't think it's...
Well, she's only dilated.
It's right on the horizon.
She's only
right.
3 centimeters.
Otherwise, it'd be kind of odd if, as you're trying to rush your wife to the hospital, that you stop to call this show.
Yeah, you got to go faster after the first one. The first one, you can take your sweet time because it's going to take hours. Boy, after you loosen things up in there, though, the second and third ones, they'll pop right out.
What if you've been with Lexington Steel?
I don't have that experience. I don't know.
Tony Dow says, my butt is currently dilated to 3 centimeters. He just passed the bar yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought he was already a lawyer.
Well, I guess after you get through law school, you have to pass the bar, I think, to technically be.
Gotcha.
I think he was handling traffic tickets.
Yeah. That's important work, though.
Tim, I really miss listener Souk Deek. That's from Dr. Nomar S. Play. Yeah, I don't know. Souk Deek used to troll producer Joe and the Nonling, the Ibon era of the program.
A memorable era.
It was indeed.
I'm sure he's still around. He's just using a different name.
Old Souk.
Yeah, he would go after Larry Nickel, and it would become a whole thing, is what it would be. Hey, you can enjoy a tall, frosty Bud Light. They are the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. The weekend is approaching, Charlie. Sometimes people enjoy having themselves a little beverage on a Thursday, a happy hour, and start settling in for the weekend. Missouri and Georgia, the Cardinals and Giants. The Rammies might score a point this weekend against the Sea Pigeon. It's all coming up this weekend. Have yourself a Bud Light on this wonderful mid-September weekend in the greater St. Louis area. Rick Hummel, 8 o'clock. Mattie Lou Chandler at 8:30. And we couldn't get Butch Patrick, but Calvin May, friend of Butch Patrick, will represent. He will join us at 9 o'clock. A couple things to discuss with him.
So I'm sure you guys have broken this down, but what's the correlation with the picture with Butch Patrick with Joe Madden? I never got that part of it.
Nobody knows.
Okay.
Now, Gardner said yesterday on the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select, that Calvin also gave a picture of Butch Patrick to Mike Matheny.
Oh, gave him to both. Well, that was a nice gesture.
But Derek Gould only witnessed the Joe Madden gift. So initially I thought, okay, I guess, you know, Madden's a little eclectic. I guess maybe he's a big fan of the Munsters for some reason. Calvin happens to be a friend of Butch Patrick and was at Butch Patrick's wedding this past week. And again, all of these things is like a game of Mad Libs on acid. But it turns out that Calvin was just gifting everyone Butch Patrick autographed pictures. Mm.
Only Major League Baseball managers, though.
I believe so.
This is nice to spread around the memorabilia.
I don't think like Sigrist got one.
Coach,
but maybe
how cool was it that it was a Wisconsin player that sank the winning shot?
Well, they're all Wisconsin players.
Oh.
Cal said he followed up and found out that Madden went back to the hotel after the game and actually watched the Munsters, he said.
Really?
I don't know where you can find that on your hotel TV, but he said...
Again, another wonderful coincidence in this entire story.
But he said he went home and watched some Munsters.
What goes through your mind when you see the ball actually go through the hoop there?
Well, I knew it was good.
That was a Wisconsin player that hit the three?
Yep. I guess.
That guy won me some money.
He did?
He saved the under for everybody. Didn't go to OT, Doug. Mm. I remember that game fondly.
Doug, there's an argument now on the fan page. Somebody posted happy birthday to Caden Cross, but posted a picture of Jesse Jane, and that has some people upset.
Mm. Because you should know the difference? Don't they look slightly similar?
Not really. I mean, they're both blonde, but that's about it.
Right. Marcy told me Jesse Jane has kind of blown up lately.
What do you mean?
Kind of gotten big.
Uh-oh.
Doug? And I think she is maybe one of the prettiest porn stars ever.
Jesse Jane, really?
Face-wise, yeah.
Yeah, that's just not my thing. She's super cool. She came into our events, and she couldn't be cooler. She's been on the show. She really is.
Yeah, she's happy. She's at Oklahoma fishing, and just she's dating.
Oklahoma fishing?
She lives in Oklahoma. She does a lot of fishing. She's just letting herself go.
Huh.
She's dating one of these producers.
Durant?
No. Is it Jewel?
Jewel was just roasting Rob Lowe a few days ago. No,
it's a dude.
Oh.
He's a big
dude
time.
Dude named Jewel.
Big time producer.
Doug, is it Jules Jordan?
That's it.
I don't know. It is.
Jules
Jordan. Yeah, Jules Jordan.
Thank you.
I was going to say that.
JJ.
That's who she's dating.
Who the hell is Jules
Jordan? Oh, Marcy filled me in on a lot of porn stuff yesterday.
Why doesn't Marcy come on the show right after Butch Patrick?
We should get Marcy on because she would be fabulous to talk to.
Let's get her on,
she's
Doug.
Got great stories.
Well, I don't have her number. You got her number, Iggy. I can't book her.
And she's the sister of the owner?
Steve Hirsch, yes.
So was she a former starlet?
I don't believe so.
Well, that's what every father wants, is to bring up her daughter through the same porn industry that he's in.
Sister, Doug.
It's a sister.
Sister.
Well, even
family,
that's still kind of creepy.
No, it's a family business. That's the American dream.
Amen. Thank you, Charlie. Yeah. Entrepreneurial spirit.
You make money, and then you allow your family to also... reap the benefits and the rewards of great industry.
Just what you want as a producer, to bring your sister in and watch her do porn. Yeah. I mean, isn't that every guy's dream?
See, why do you take it that way? I said, what if she's the human resources manager?
Right, HR. Well,
what
baby,
if
HR.
She...
I have a feeling that's not what it was at all.
What if she does the books?
I don't believe so. Now, what's that, Blousy?
Sounds like you.
That's you if you were in a porn, Doug.
No, it wasn't.
I wonder what this Marcy looks like. Can we Google?
You ever seen Marcy Hirsch?
Marcy Hirsch. I've never seen her. Have you?
Yeah.
She attractive?
Looks a little like Steve.
I like the name Marcy. I also like the name Maddie Lou. Because you
Maddie Lou, 830.
Yeah, you don't hear it very often. It's an old school name.
I like Maddie Alou.
Maddie Alou, yeah.
Brother of Moises.
Uh-huh. And Jesus, all three of them. And
guys.
Jesus had something going on with his neck. He was always craning his neck.
What about
neck?
Felipe?
Yeah, there's another one.
We should have Calvin interview Caden for her birthday. That actually would be a great... Can we do that? You think Calvin would do it? I don't know where Calvin is on the spectrum, so to speak. Is he closer to Frank or is he closer to me? That's the spectrum.
Cal? Probably closer to Frank.
You think so?
draft.
How good was it just to see this team get the win?
Yeah, it was very good.
That's a nice, succinct answer, though. If you want a short sound bite, 2 seconds or less, that's what you use.
Oh, yeah.
Caden, would you say TT Boy is big?
Mm-mm. Here's an example.
What'd your
right
grandma think?
I don't know. I haven't told her yet.
Jay Hay.
Tim, how many spots left for the Lemmings Open? We were down to 9 last night, Doug, so we almost sold the thing out.
Okay.
In like 8 hours.
Well, by definition, that's what lemmings do. One guy joins, the next guy's got to join. They just fall right in line. You're going to have how many spots? Like you said, 60?
We'll have 2 foursomes on each hole.
Okay.
They are T6.
Uh-huh.
I found a pick, guys. Marcy Hirsch.
All right.
Doug.
Okay. Fine-looking gal.
Plowsy.
Now, it doesn't play real well on radio, though, Chuck.
That's why I was trying to go to you guys for your analysis.
Okay.
Doug, Marcy on Charlie Brown was a straight-up submissive lesbo with Peppermint Patty. Think about it. Thanks, Jets, from Jim Abbott's good hand.
I don't know that she was.
So there was Lucy, there was Marcy, there was Peppermint Patty. Peppermint Patty, obviously a lesbian. I don't really remember Marcy being...
They were little kids. How do you know? They were little kids.
I mean, wasn't it obvious that Linus was a bottom?
No, it wasn't. They were playing kids.
Plowboy's nodding.
6 years old.
Did Linus have the blanket?
He was very submissive. I mean, you could tell he kind of didn't...
We're talking about kids.
He didn't have a backbone, so definitely a power bottom. Not a power bottom. I think Charlie is a power top for sure.
Yeah. That's what
Charlie Brown,
Andy Cohen.
Yes, not Marlo. Yes.
I don't know if he said that when he's on the Fox Sports broadcast or if that was during the Stern interview. But yeah, at one point recently he said he was a power top.
Okay, I'm a little uncomfortable now.
Tim, could I have a foursome with you and Charlie? Thank you for your excellence. That's from the Sad Panda. Charlie, you want to play in the Lemmings Open?
When is it?
October 14th.
Maybe.
There is no baseball game that day.
You know what, though? That's a Saturday, correct?
It's a Friday, baby. Friday.
It's a Friday. I am going to a wedding the next day in Chicago, but maybe. Maybe.
I want to win this thing for the reals, though.
Then you don't want me in your team.
Yeah, I know. Nothing against
you.
I was trying to get my buddy Joe Stats. I was trying to get Bobby Magic. I don't think they can play.
Why don't you get Williamson?
JW?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that might be a bad idea.
He might be able to carry a little bit.
That's not a bad idea.
He'd probably win by himself.
Or Jay Delsing.
Delsing, he's you high.
Mm-hmm. Get both of them, and you'd pretty much guarantee yourself a W.
You know who you get, and you win.
Skip Berkmeyer.
I can call her for you.
Patty Berg?
Annika Sorenstam.
No.
Nancy Lupin.
Lizzie Utoff.
Oh, Lizzie Utoff.
She was on the first female Big Break on the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
She's the golf coach at some Illinois school, and she'll get to play from the red tees.
That's key.
She hits it about 270.
Holy crap.
From the red tees, you'll have wedges into par five. She'll be driving par fours.
All right, let's book her. So me, Delsing, JW, and this last.
How do you know her?
Well, she's from St. Louis.
Well, there's 3 million people from the area.
I know a lot of people in the golf community.
Do you? And bowling.
Yes, and bowling. I'll call Lizzie for you.
Nice. This is a nice little team I'm putting together.
Mm-hmm.
What about PGA Tour Dan, whatever?
PGA Pro Dan.
Yeah. Is any
on the roster. Okay. Get a fivesome. Love it at Ruth Park. you can text in, Doug, the number is 855-CUB-TALK. 855-CUB-TALK.
Cub-talk.
The appliance discounter phone lines is how you can get involved by calling in. It was wonderful to hear from a listener on his way with his wife to have their second child, their first son, Nolan. Also on our appliance discounter phone lines, Rick Hummel on the Cardinals, Matty Lou Chandler on a potpourri of things college football. I saw yesterday that Missouri announced that there are 15,000 tickets available for the Gurs in Georgia on Saturday night.
Yikes.
Yikes, yikes, yikes.
The place holds almost 70 now?
73-ish.
Yeah.
Yikes, yikes, yikes,
yikes.
That's a little surprising that many. I can understand it not being a sellout, but for the first...
That many, I agree with
SEC
you, Charlie.
Game, Georgia, big-time opponent.
Rams gone.
You'd also think that last week, okay, it's a college football game. It's the home opener. How many people really want to see Eastern Michigan, though? I would think there'd be a lot of people who want to go to this game.
Well, boring football doesn't sell. And they were horrible to watch last year. And they weren't so good to watch against West Virginia. I'm sure a lot of people said, same old Mizzou as what we saw 20 years ago. It must be that, because they didn't have trouble selling tickets back a couple years ago.
Dave Matter tweeted out, Missouri crowd for first SEC home game last 4 years averaged 69,012, with sellouts in 2012 and 2014 against Georgia. But Gabe Yarman tweeted him, told around 15,000 tickets remain for Missouri-Georgia on Saturday night. Keep an eye out for cheap ticket promotions today and tomorrow.
Well, they might fix some of that with a win. If they were to play well and win, that'd get some people under the tent. I said under the tent.
No, I heard it.
Full circus term.
I heard it.
Well done.
I hope so, because we need a decent football team somewhere in our lives.
I'm a Seahawks fan this weekend.
I almost bought a Seahawks shirt just thinking that I'll wear it at least twice a year every time they're playing the Rams. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it, Doug, but I thought about it.
You see, they're talking more yesterday about a nice little extension for Jeff Fisher.
What in the world? Yeah, ESPN's John Clayton reporting that the word on the street, this is his exact words, the word on the street, and I don't know if they actually put it in one of the, because they haven't really put out the Michael Brockers contract extension yet, because I know he just got a contract extension. I think they were going to put at the bottom of the release that Jeff Fisher signed a 3-year extension. The host responds, "Are you serious?" "Yeah, that's what I'm hearing." The host says, "Oh my gosh." Clayton says, but they haven't put out any release yet.
It's probably bad timing when you've just lost 28-0 to one of the weaker teams in the league.
One of the things that fascinated me, and I think you guys would remember it was 2012, and they had a Thursday night game against the, might have been 13, against the 49ers. And right before that, they were talking about a Sam Bradford extension. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was right before my birthday, so it was like September 26th or 7th, and I remember thinking to myself, what in the hell are they doing? What could they possibly be thinking?
They don't know what they're doing. When you're as bad as they've been for, going on 12 or 13 years now, you make mistakes like this up and down the line. They don't have a clue what they're doing. They really don't.
I think it's very, it's not a coincidence. Also, that this Keyshawn Johnson story leaks where he comes out and says
Jeff Fisher was forced to draft Jared Goff.
And it happens a couple days after this horrible loss where Jeff Fisher and the whole organization looks really bad. But to me, when that happens, that means Snead is going to go soon, because they're going to blame it on Snead, even though we've heard for years that Fisher has a lot of influence in the draft.
Well, who could force him other than Kroenke?
Demoff.
I don't know, but I'm just saying, I don't think that was a coincidence that a couple days after this awful loss where he looks really bad, and then now you hear talk of an extension, that he's going to shift the blame, or the blame will be shifted away from Fisher to someone else to be blamed for the atrocity that is Jared Goff right now, which everybody is talking about nationally, and they're getting ripped constantly.
Matt Berger and Fred Slow, two of the three hosts of the Heavy Hitters, which airs from 7 to 9 here on 590 The Fan, both texting me. They had Vinny Bonsignore of the LA Daily News on their program, and he said that those reports regarding Fisher and a contract extension per the Rams are not true. I don't know. But the Keyshawn Johnson thing, Johnson said, well, I think Jared Goff is about everybody. I think it's the people that have to get Jared Goff prepared. I think it's about the individuals that made the decision to draft him, whether it was Kevin Demoff or whether it was Les Snead with a little bit of help from Fisher. From my outside people and the inside people that I know at the Rams, that wasn't the choice that Jeff Fisher really wanted. I think he was basically forced to draft Jared Goff. The host says, who did he want? I think he wanted more players. I think he wanted more players because he felt that he could be competitive with more players, but they felt they needed to make a splash moving into L.A. and drafting a quarterback. I mean, I think so many of us, when that happened, if you were even paying attention to it, thought that's exactly what was going on there. I mean, it was a very level one, obvious move.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Gurley thing, right when that happened. People are going, well, that's an L.A. move.
Why would they have needed to make a splash? Isn't it enough to make a splash to move there, to bring a team back to L.A. for the first time in 21 years?
To say we have the
years?
Number one pick and have that be the number one overall pick, yeah. That's what that...
That's Rams thinking. And why does Kevin Demoff have any say at all in who they're drafting? What does he know?
Because he just doubled his boss's value.
Yeah, but what does he know really about...
Of course, I'm not saying that Rams should rules. Be the case. Yes, he did put that together, too. I'm not saying it should be the case. I'm just saying I think that's why he had the juice. If anything, he's got more juice now than ever before. Changing.
That's a really horrible thing.
Right. Well, I mean...
Horrible thing.
Mount Rushmore of horrible things the Rams do.
Yeah.
I can understand it, though, from a football standpoint, if they actually thought, which is crazy. It's not crazy when you know that they're bad at their jobs. But if they think they literally are one quarterback away from going over the top. And, you know, you could look at last year. Very good defense. Todd Gurley, young offensive line. I could see how they would think that. But clearly, at least early, the pick looks absolutely awful with him not even dressing. And then the fact that you've given away two whole drafts, basically, for this guy.
Keyshawn John said, look, I don't care what anybody say, and I say this all the time. I've seen Jared Goff for 3 years. 3 years out here in the Pac-12. I like him. He's a nice kid, but he wouldn't have been my number one overall pick. He just wouldn't have been. He doesn't give me... this isn't Andrew Luck or Cam Newton we're talking about. You don't move up to take this type of guy. The Rams did, and as Charlie just made reference to, they sacrificed a huge amount in order.
Six picks, I think. They got three back, but
high picks.
So, and then, but then Fred Rogan. See, here's one of the things, and this is something you know. I assume Doug and Charlie, and you know, probably Seamaster and Iggy and Plowhawk. You know, having we do this stuff, and we know how it works. Everybody's kind of got their guys. And then the people who actually are in the know or are trying to manipulate the message then feed information to their guys. And so Fred Rogan, who is an LA talk radio host, was fed the information that that report is inaccurate. And let's see, what was the exact tweet? Boy, he tweets quite a bit as well. But either way, he said that that thing was completely false.
On the Fisher extension?
On the Jared Goff pick. My understanding is that Jeff Fisher was not forced into anything, but was involved in the decision.
Yeah, you would think. If you're paying a head coach $7 million, he's going to be involved in every decision that happens on the field. Les Snead must make, what, $1 million? Fisher outranks Les Snead. I don't care if one's the general manager and one's the head coach. The head coach outranks him by a lot. And I'm sure nothing happens that Jeff Fisher doesn't have some significant say in.
But we heard entering this season about talk of extensions for Fisher and Snead, which didn't really surprise us because we know how bad the organization is. But surely if you look at the on-field product, it would surprise anyone. But knowing that, let's be real, their whole job was to shepherd the franchise to LA, and then they can kind of restart here if they want to reward those guys for getting the team to Los Angeles. But right now, I think the timing, even they get it, that they can't talk about extensions right now when they look so bad. It's just such a bad PR move to have people talking about that after one of the worst performances in an opening game we've ever seen.
Did you guys listen to what PTI said about the Rams on Tuesday? They slammed them and sounded alarmed that it was this bad. It further tells me that the Rams were a national afterthought, and they will be floored when they, quote, get a load of this operation. Rick Venturi, who was with Frank Cusimano on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. You can listen to that on InsideSTL.com and subscribe to all our podcasts on iTunes. What?
Their national ratings for that Monday night game, the second game of a doubleheader, down 25% from the previous year. But as overmatched as the Rams front office is against the rest of the NFL, they still want to win. And I can't believe that they would have told Fisher, you're going to take this quarterback, whether you want to. I can't believe they're that
horrible. I can see them saying, you got to draft a quarterback. We're going to do this because we got to make a splash. But then that meant they had a choice on Wentz or Goff, and they went with Goff. Now, you have one game's worth of a sample size, although it's very damning to have the gentleman not even dress, especially when he's not dressing with Case Keenum and Sean Mannion ahead of him. And you have one game of Wentz, but he did play very well against the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, it is small sample size theater at this point. 855 Cub Talk, Doug. That's how you can get involved. And you can also email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. $10 gift certificate to the Pasta House is our prize for the email of the day. The Tease Farms Captain's Log. Rick Hummel in about 5 minutes on the Cardinal loss yesterday. The state of the wild card, everybody losing. I think the only team that's in the mix for a wild card spot that won yesterday were the Orioles on – of course, both leagues, the Giants and the Mets also losing.
Mariners surging.
Mariners continue to win, and Cardinals and Giants and Mets all lose, so the Cardinals are still in one half game shouting distance, and if you're the Mets, you love it because they know no matter what, one of the teams they're involved in this race win will lose. And when there's two spots, it really doesn't matter that one of those teams will win. So the Mets are in a hell of a spot. Plus, they get to play the Twins this weekend. Is that right?
Yes.
So Mets are in a good spot. Cardinals and Giants, Cueto, Wainwright this evening, night game in San Francisco, start of a four-game series with the Giants. And, yeah, the Cardinals lose 3 of 4, and assuming the Mets take at least 2 of 3, the battle to get one of those wild card spots would be brutal. As Matt Carpenter said following the game yesterday, they have got to at least split in San Francisco. It's a tough place to play, and it's a tough place to hit home runs, and that's the way the Cardinals score runs in 2016.
At least the Giants aren't doing anything either. The Giants can't hit.
Oh, there's an article on the front page of ESPN.com this morning about how the Giants' collapse would rank, because they had the best record at the All-Star break. It wasn't the Cubs. It was the Giants. Mm-hmm. It's been an absolute disaster. And yeah, they have had some offensive health issues, but you know, they have two of the best starters in the game, and they still were not able to right this ship. Small sample size, but I thought Mannion was the best quarterback last year. Will he ever get a chance? It's Craig from the CPA.
Yeah, when he gets in there, he looks like he could play a little bit. I know some of it's preseason work when he gets in, but he at least looks like he's comfortable and can throw. I don't know what you see from any of the other guys.
But there's another indictment right there. That guy's a third-round pick. That's a starter for most teams. I'm not saying quarterback, but you can get a very good NFL player in the third round. And the Rams use a third-round pick on a quarterback, and it's kind of like a guy we don't talk about.
Yeah,
that's a high pick.
And never gets a shot, ever. No matter how horrible the play is in front of him, they never go to him as an option.
And Case Keenum, you know what you're going to get with Case Keenum. God love him. He's a nice guy, and you know he's making some nice money, playing a couple years in the NFL, but he's Case Keenum. Like, he's not going to surprise you and all of a sudden be some all-pro quarterback. At least Sean Mannion can go out there and surprise you. You haven't really seen anything from him.
I heard Howard Balzer saying on Triple Threat a couple days ago that Les Snead said that if they would have had Case Keenum the last 4 years, they would have been playoff team two of the last 4 years. And it's just like, what are these guys doing?
They have no clue.
It's just phenomenal. Rick Venturi, wait till they get a load of this operation. Hey, the Wheelhouse is a place to go watch the Rammies, and the Sea Pigeons play this weekend. Wheelhouse, the official college football and NFL headquarters. Hang out there and enjoy the fun and games at the Wheelhouse. Plus, it's a pony show. I mean, that's just what it's all about. Doug, if you're looking for a pony show, not a brony show, show.
Okay.
It's the Wheelhouse in downtown St. Louis. Locally owned, locally operated. Wheelhouse, the local college football headquarters for the SEC, Big Ten, and Big 12. Wheelhouse, the NFL headquarters in St. Louis. Contact them and book your watch party. Email parties at wheelhousestl.com. Let them know the Ryan Kelly Morning After sent you their way. Rick Hummel, 8 o'clock. Matty Lou Chandler, 8:30. And Calvin May at 9 o'clock. Doug, would you ever want to miss this one, brother?
I don't know that any station's ever put in a lineup quite like that.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
I just don't know that it's happened.
Thank you, sir. That's coming up here for you and your emails, the morning after at insidestl.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.